Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Yeah, Warra Lily, 10 years at the top and still so much more to come. And thanks to the Ponds and Norlane Hotel and Team Tyre Power. The Ponds, a great destination catering for the whole family. Thanks, as I said, to everyone at K-Rock Footy who has worked tirelessly behind the scenes to get the K-Rock Hub up and going so we can continue to broadcast the AFL games for the Cats. The Hub at the moment is all about Sydney, and that is where we find the Cats CEO, Brian Cook. Cookie, Ian Cohen, Darren Berry, Heath Buck and Mark Neal chatting to you this evening. Thanks for sparing us some time. And how is Hub life treating you?
Oh, it's life in a bubble. Ian, it's very, very different. You know, if we're not training or if we're not playing, we're basically at the hotel or out in groups of no more than two around the park for a walk and a takeaway coffee. So that's what it's like at the moment. And I don't think it's going to get much better.
Mm. And just to explain for our K-Rock listeners, obviously departing Sydney then WA, the announcement this afternoon that WA are now looking to tighten the borders even more, how does that impact the Cats? What's the strategy going forward for Geelong as a travelling circus at the moment?
Yeah, no, we're part of all of that. The WA government have announced late this afternoon that they won't be allowing Vicks in, I think it's by midnight tomorrow night, is it, or tonight even. So anyway, look, we filled out our applications for exemption in case this happened, and we've been approved, as have Collingwood. And so we'll be okay. We'll play the games over there in the Hub, the four of us, Collingwood ourselves and the two West Australian sides that I'm aware of. They're the four. And we hope to be away no more than 32 days, which started, of course, last Saturday. And, you know, we're hoping that there isn't an extension beyond the 32, but who knows? You know, it's so much in the air at the moment.
It is, and that obviously then lends itself to questions about how people are dealing with it. What about the Taylor family, the Menegola family, the people that are WA boys? What's the process in terms of potentially families going there?
Well, we've got those families with us now, and they'll be quarantined when they get to Perth for 14 days. And two of those families have come from farmland, and that they'll be going to those regional areas to quarantine. They've got exemptions for that. But if we stay more than 32 days, it depends where we go, whether we stay in WA or whether we go to South Australia. Mm. The AFL right now are considering whether they'll whether they will promote families going to games if they can, depending on state board guidelines. And we'll know, I would hope, within, you know, 3 or 4 days what the story is there. I think, and we're hoping that it doesn't go any further than 32 days. We think that's long enough for the players.
Yep.
I mean, we really have to take our hats off to the players and what they're going through at the moment, particularly those players away from their families.
Cookie, Darren Berry, thanks again. You're always giving of your time. You mentioned the WA families being with you. Just for our listeners again, how many families are travelling with the Geelong Football Club at the moment?
Yeah, no, roughly. We have three families.
Oh, three.
We have the Taylors, Michelle and the three children. We have Menegolas with the one child, and we have the Stanleys with a couple of kids. So the Stanleys and the Taylors will go to their family farms. One's near Geraldton and one's in York, which are both one's 4 hours away, York, and the other one's about eight hours away, Geraldton. And the Menegolas will quarantine in the hotel, but they need to quarantine for a couple of weeks. They're the rules.
Cookie, just to change tack, we had a couple of callers tonight, and you will be better placed than we are to answer these questions. And, I mean, we could go in so many different directions, but one that we're obviously interested in is list management. Maybe not your domain, but for Wellesley and his team, as to how you recruit the players with no underage comps. Some of the senior comps are still going. We think the Waffle and the Sandful. And then an extension, I suppose, Brian, is also the current list if they get chopped down, making tough decisions on current players.
Oh, look, the area which is going to need a lot of attention and a lot more resources is in a time when the soft cap is coming down.
Yep.
But this is one area where we'll need to bulk up and ensure that we do our homework well in a year where we can't see players. So we have to rely on information from last year and the possibility of you know, other information that we can gather between, you know, in the next 6 months or so. So it's really important. And then you've got the scouting material from other AFL clubs, because we're of the belief that lists will be reduced, and they could be reduced as low as 35.
Yep.
I think it might be a bit higher than that, but that's what they're saying. And that would mean that you would have to drop another, you know, a dozen players off your list. So if you're dropping a dozen players off each club's list on top of, you know, the randomness of the 17 and 18-year-olds now, it means there's a lot of work to be done in this recruiting area. So, you know, our plans are not to, you know, take any resources out of that area and put somewhere else or simply reduce. It's an area which we're going to really need to get into.
Talking about the Cats family at the moment, Warrilili, 10 years on, still the premier place for families to live and grow. The voice you can hear is Brian Cook, Cats CEO, Mark Neild.
Good evening, Brian. Good luck this evening.
Thanks, Mark.
Just from a off-field point of view, just with the way that you set the football club up from a business point of view right now, how difficult is it, and what processes have you set up? Like, if you've got your players away with, say, CEO, for example, and a few other management staff, and then you've got some back in Geelong, how's all that set up to work as smoothly as what it has in the past?
Yeah, I need a cup of coffee with you on this one, Mark.
No.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, mate. We had a sort of... At the beginning, we had three pillars. We said, look, you know, the three pillars are the retention of revenue, the physical and mental health of people, and engagement and connection. Those three things were really important for us. So we put all of the stand-down staff into those areas. Then we started to train, and we stood down 100 staff, and we brought back about another 30 once we started to train. And then we started to play, and we brought back about another 20, 25. And so at the moment, you've got around about, you know, 60 or 70 still stood down staff and 60 or 70 working. So that's basically what's happened. They had those three pillars. And what it's meant there was lots of strategies in each of those pillars, but from a retention of revenue point of view, we thought we were going to make about a $10 million loss this year. At the moment, it's gone down to 5. We're hoping it can get down to 2, believe it or not, because our members have been unbelievable. They have left their money with us at the moment, and we think that 85% of the revenue from our members will be retained by this club this year, which is unbelievable. I just, you know, every time I think about it, I want to cry. It's just unbelievable what they've done. We think we'll maintain 70% of our corporate income as well. And so this massive loss that was looking like, you know, maybe 10, even more million, we think we might get down to 2, in which case we'd borrow that from the AFL. So, you know, that's in a nutshell. They're the stages we've gone through. But what's been really difficult, you've had to have a sort of a dual mindset, a two-speed mindset, where you've got one foot on the brake and one on the accelerator at the same time. You know, you're worried about, you know, what 2021 is going to look like, which areas you have to put more money in, like the recruiting, where do you have to take money out of? Oh, hang on, just put the foot on the brake. Where do we need to slow down on? We need to slow down on our expenditures with people, et cetera, et cetera. So that's been the issue for us. And around that, there's a circle of, you know, how do you support the staff that are really struggling? You know, whether it be, you know, your psychologists who do that, or your, you know, your employment assistance programs, et cetera, et cetera. So there's been a whole lot of things all at once, whole juggling act, two-speed mindset, having a direction and a purpose, and relying and trusting on people like your members.
Oh, Brian, thank you very much for that summary. And look, I suppose from our point of view, just a massive shout out to all the Geelong members and the people that, you know, put their hand in their pocket, and you're saying the money that they've let the club retain. That is absolutely fantastic. And I'm sure that they're clearly confident in the way that it's done. So that's awesome. And just hopefully this one won't challenge you as much as that. We won't need a cup of coffee for this one, mate. Just have you caught up with the coaches this week, and what are they doing to get the players to keep their mind on the job?
You know, the players have been pretty good. The coaches are always around them. You know, each coach has got several players, not in a sort of, you know, a defensive or midfield or forward role, but also in a workplace role. And so they have 6 forwards, and they might have another 6 players that they think of in a welfare sense. And so that's been going on for a couple of years with us. It works really well. And it hasn't. That's continued. I think the players have been. Look, this is our first week.
the narrative has been positive. We've got a very flexible and agile mentality at the moment. So we've been training on grounds not as good as GMHBA. We can't see our families. They're sacrificing those things. And at the moment, it's really good. Whether they can maintain that resilience and that perspective for 4 or 5 more weeks, who knows? But that's one of the reasons I'm here and a few others are here, just to provide the support that's required.
Brian Heath-Buck here. Thanks for joining us tonight. I just want to go back on the fans and the I suppose, trying to keep them engaged. It's been obviously a very difficult time for particularly Victorians, and you got Geelong fans, interstate overseas. But how do you truly keep them engaged? It's one thing being financial, but the fact that they haven't been able to go to games, and now they've been removed from being in Geelong and now gone interstate for a long period of time. So even that will be a sense of anxiety for a lot of Geelong supporters.
Yeah, no. A lot depended on our connections over the last 2 or 3 years and whether that holds up now and they trust us and they respect us. And I think that's been shown in the membership revenue retention. I'm not sure that would have occurred 20 years ago. But today, honestly, the best way of connecting through the media, the social media, the digital media, and all those forms. And that's what we have been doing. We have not stood down anyone in our media area, both traditional and digital and modern, and because we just have to continue to provide the stories and the good stories that people want on online, and that tends to be the number one focus for us in relation to connection with our members right now.
And for the members listening to you now, Brian, over there, can you just, I suppose, the feeling here in Victoria, and I know Geelong's not a lockdown part of Victoria at the moment, but just the general feeling is one of doom and gloom. What's it like there at the moment in Sydney?
No, we're in a bubble in Sydney, so, we may not get the realistic impression or perspective at times, but at the moment, from what we can perceive, it seems to us that the Sydney sides are still quite positive, okay? And they seem to be following the rules really well. I don't see large crowds anywhere, so they're doing it pretty well. In terms of our players and how they're going, I think they're doing okay. Their narrative is really positive. So let's hope they stay that way.
Cookie, it's again, how long's a piece of string? And unfortunately, we're all living in a very changing, fluid, agile, whatever words we want to use to it. But there is a question that I'd love your thoughts on, and it is a hypothetical, and I know you don't like hypotheticals, but the grand final is being morning news, lunchtime news on K-Rock. We're hearing tonight Sydney have put in a bid. Do you have an opinion, if it has to go away from the MCG, heaven forbid, but if it does, do you have a thought on best practice and where, how and why?
I'm pretty simple in their things. I think it's the MCG until it isn't. Let's hold on to that for as long as we can. If it's got to go somewhere else, if there's any chance of it going anywhere else, I'd be asking for expressions of interest from every state government and picking the best one.
And just take us through the economies of that. Would it go out to almost a bidding process, a tender process, where they say, listen, I reckon it's worth 30 mil, part of which would flow back to Stuart Fox and the MCG? How would it work? Because obviously he's got a contract in place.
Yeah, no, you'd have to get, first of all, you'd have to get the permission of the MCG to do it, That's the first thing. And there might be some compensation there. That's another issue. Who knows? It would simply not be who's the largest bidder. There's all other things like all sorts of other things like the tourism implications and putting a proposal to the AFL which promotes AFL footy really well in all sorts of areas in the state. So it's not just how much money is there, but the state government might say, for instance, look, here's X amount of dollars, but we promise to put X amount of million into development into the state for the next 3 or 4 years with the kids in the community. So the proposal can have any dimensions.
And what about Cookie, I know you're a lateral thinker.
Look, Geelong's not too lateral.
Geelong's not in lockdown. GMHBA Stadium. We could fly into Avalon, get the bus, and grand final at GMHBA.
Yeah, would have thought so.
Brian,
yeah.
If you...
And we'll tag on a Great Ocean Road Tour.
Yeah, correct. Go. Correct. That's what we can do at all.
Brian, if this the next 32 days in the amount of games you play interstate is successful, and we hope it is, could you see the AFL considering maybe an option in the future to maybe have Victorian clubs do a little road trip and play multiple games interstate?
Oh, look, there's no doubt that the world's going to be different after this. I think it's a good thing for people to think about the MCG, the grand final maybe not being at the MCG, or Collingwood and the Cats playing, in person. I think that's good for the game, and it changes the mindset, because we know the AFL is still very Victorian focused. There is no doubt about that. You know, I had 20 years in Perth,
yep.
For our game to be, truly national, it needs to do all sorts of other things outside of Victoria more often. Yep. I think this has been, maybe a bit of leverage for that, a bit of preparation for that.
It's amazing to think. I mean, you look at the American Super Bowl model, and it's very, yeah. very rare that the team that is from that
play in their home,
incredibly rare. I think it's only happened a couple of times. So, yeah. I mean, but that is a bidding process, Cookie. That is someone putting forward and saying, well, NFL will pay you X amount to actually have it here.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. That's exactly it.
Just a quick word, too, on GMHBA. The politic around it, obviously. Stephen Coffe, now, man, you're going to be dealing with the next stage. Yeah. Where's that at for the development?
Stage five is on... We have a budget of $102 million from the state election. And we're hoping for that to begin, the construction to begin the end of next year. That's what we're planning towards. We had a meeting today, actually, a linked-up meeting with the Treasury and Department for Sport and, ourselves, Cadinia Park Stadium Trust, Cricket Australia, all those, to just talk through it again. So, we're on the right track, and it's still going to happen, and it's a matter of timing now.
All right, we appreciate your time. How many points are the Cats going to win by tonight, do you think?
Big one tonight.
I'd be happy with 1 point.
Oh, come on, Cookie.
Very good.
I'm going to say 1 point.
One point. Well, I reckon it might be a tight, tough tussle.
It's
because
going to be a nervous night then, Brian, if it's 1 point.
Lions are traveling. Travel safely, travel well. We wish the Cats continued success, obviously, in this new reality. And for you, the challenge will be getting across to Perth, obviously, and then settling in there and doing the round robin, for want of a better word, over there. And who knows what's going to happen at the end of 32 days.
No, thanks very much, guys. Thank you. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Brian Cook, the CEO from the Geelong Footy Club, joining us. Thanks to Warrilili. 10 years at the top and still so much more to come.
Prestige Jayco, pre-game interview.